I generally title these things so I can give you kind of where I'm going, and that way if you sleep through the rest of it, you'll kind of have the text down. So I started out calling this one seeking, but it may be more of a finding. So determine that after I roll here a little while. Matthew, the 13th chapter, Jesus gives us a parable there, verses 44 and 46, if you want to look. And let me read that and we'll go from there. Jesus makes a parallel here between the kingdom, or a spiritual life, and treasure. And he says here in verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." I've heard probably countless devotionals, lessons, whatever you want to refer to them, on this parable, and it always focused, and I think rightly so, on these two men sacrificing everything they had for the spiritual thing that was there to be had. But I think that's a good application. I think the scripture many times has multiple applications, and I want to look at a different application tonight than that, although that is paramount of importance, that we give up and sacrifice and become submissive to Jesus. I want to focus on the fact about the pearl merchant first. Here's a fellow. This is his career. He wakes up every morning, goes to the pearl store, gets his pearls out on the counter and sells them and buys pearls and trades. And that's his life. That's his world. His pearls. And he knows his pearls. And he's looking for the best one that he can find. And somehow, I don't know if he's down on the docks waiting for the oyster fishermen to come in to check out their catch, or if the customer comes in or whatever, but here is the best pearl he's ever seen. And I'm speculating in the back of his mind, saying, "I have waited for this my entire life, and here it is." So he was focused on seeking pearls. Now this other fellow, I don't know, is he a custom farmer and he's plowing somebody's field for him? Is he a construction guy moving dirt? I don't know what he is exactly, but he apparently stumbles upon treasure. Both of these fellows forfeit all they have in order to obtain what they found. Now, the guy that finds it in the field, did he wake up that morning and say, "I'm going to find it today"? I don't know if he's, you know, I had a, well, my neighbor years ago, somebody gave his stepson a William Wand metal detector things. And the boy went out, you know, around, and after he had dug up a few old hair tooths and a couple of tin cans, I think the metal detector is still hanging in Ray's shop right where that boy hung it up after he spent a few hours digging up junk. He didn't dedicate himself to become a treasure hunter. But, and I don't know that this fellow was a treasure hunter, but he recognized, okay, let me make sure you understand my point. He recognized it. When he saw it, he recognized it. He said, that's it. Back in the sixth chapter of Matthew there, Jesus, or the fifth chapter, starting out the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out the principles of Christianity, more or less, and that's a whole series of lessons by itself. But in verse 19, he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Priorities. Is the physical our priority, or is the spiritual our priority? Is that, I'm going back to recognizing treasure here again. We've got, okay, I've got stuff I really like. I probably if the Antiques Roadshow appraiser came into my shop, he'd say, this at auction would be from $3 to $5. But to me, it has value. But do we recognize the value of spirituality over the value of the physical? In the 19th chapter, Matthew, verses 16 and 22, and this is a quote, Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy 5. It's a story about a man that comes to Jesus and asks, "What else do I need to do to find eternal life?" Well, Jesus tells him what he needs to do, but he doesn't do it. Because he doesn't recognize, right? I think he does not recognize the treasure that is there. And Jesus gave him the location for the treasure. It's like handing, when I was in New Mexico, you always heard stories of Maximilian's gold buried in the Capitan's, and unscrupulous individuals setting maps to go find it. But anyway, this wasn't a fake map Jesus was giving this guy. It was the real location of what he needed to make his life what it should be. But that wasn't in his line of priorities. Luke the 12th chapter here, and it's about our physical concern, and Jesus sums this up. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In recognizing the treasure, is the physical more important, or is the spiritual more important? And let me divert just a little bit here. I wrote down in my notes here what is first on your list. But give me a minute and I'll tell you about lists. Guy brought this up in a devotional a while back, or class, I'm not sure. And he pointed out that Janet makes lists off lists. I didn't know that about Janet, and I didn't know that a lot of y'all here tonight never met my wife Lana. She passed away 10 years ago May. But if you wonder what she looked like, her mannerisms or anything like that, look at Janet. It's just carbon copy. I was going through some of the stuff at the house trying to find something, and then I stumbled onto some of her notes, and she was, for a Bible class she had put together, and it talked about It was talking about Mary and Martha, but it was about lists. And she said, I find myself making lists of lists. That's what Lana had written down. And I asked Janet, I said, did you pick that up from Lana? And she looks at me like, you don't make a list of lists. like, how do you function in life if you don't? The reason I'm bringing this up is our planning. The man back in that found the thing in the field, I don't know that he planned, but when he found it, he took a hold of it and he went. Now, whether we're an individual that makes the list and then a list to make sure we got plenty of lists, what's on the list, I think, is the importance I'm trying to drive home here. In Philippians 3rd chapter, verse 8, the Apostle Paul, he tells a brief summary of his life, how he thought he had it all, that he had the treasure, and then found out that he didn't, but then he did. And he says in that passage, he says, What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So, our imaginary list here, our real list, whichever we have, do we consider... Well, let me do scales instead of a list. I can do scales better. I can do a list. Is our spirituality way outweighing our physical, or is our physical outweighing our spiritual? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, Paul counsels Timothy to teach the people he's teaching. He says in verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In that way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. I think underline that truly life part. What? And again, physical, spiritual. Where are we laying our treasure? Where are we adding? How are we adding to our treasure there? In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 10, it talks about this is kind of a paraphrase, I'm not going to read it. We are God's creation. Created to do good works, and He has created works for us to do. So, if there's good works for us to do, and He's created us to do them, is that not the pearl that we have been searching for? Let me use Hebrews 8 and 5 and Exodus 25 and 40 as a text here. Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. He said, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. That's talking about how Moses was commanded to put all these things together. If you go back to Exodus and you read this, it's tedious, but it is really, you can tell, okay, it's got to be done this way. So when we're work, our bodies, is, or ourselves, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are we, everything we're doing, are we squaring it up to that chief cornerstone, which is Jesus? Do we have the blueprint? We do have the blueprint laid out before us. It's right here in the scripture. Revelation 3 and 18, Jesus tells us, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire. He's telling us the real thing, real as opposed to counterfeit. A while back, I picked something up at O'Reilly's. It couldn't have been much because I went to pay for it. It was a $5 bill. It was an older five that had the little president on it instead of the big president. Well, this young man, he said, "That's not real." And I said, "Yeah, it's just old. It's good." And I had a little trouble convincing him that it was real. It wasn't that important. I could have paid him some other way. But he had been schooled on by his managers, "Don't take any." And just a few weeks ago, I was getting groceries there at United. And I paid the 20s. And the checkout girl, she holds the 20 up to the light there. And there were several 20s. I think it's about $150 or something. Each one holds up a lot. I said, "They're good." And she said, "There's been a lot of bad money passed through Canyon the last few weeks. So they've told us we're in serious trouble if we take any counterfeit money." So she had been, that was important to her, not only, it was important because she didn't want to chew it out from her manager for ending up with funny money in her cash box. But our faith, our belief, those things, are they real? Are they genuine? You hold them up to light, or are they counterfeit? Another example, the gold thing. You go to pawn some gold if you have any at the pawn shop, and the guy gets a bottle out from under the counter and puts a couple of drops on that, and he makes you an offer, or he says, "This is not gold." Does our faith pass the acid test, or is it not real? When Peter preached the first gospel sermon in Acts, the second chapter, those people didn't wait for an invitation song. They stopped Peter. I don't know if this was first one third, half, last third. I don't know where he was and what he was telling. They already believed Jesus was the Son of God, and they had killed him. What could they do? And he said, they already believed. So he said, "You got to repent and be baptized." They didn't know what they needed until then. They had just discovered the treasure that was there for them. And again in Acts, when Philip and the Ethiopian fellow were going down the road, and the Ethiopian fellow was reading in Isaiah, Philip helps him to understand some things in Isaiah that he'd read before, but, now I understand. And he seems to just stop the whole, "There's some water, stop right now, I want to be baptized." And that was the, I wouldn't say it was the culmination of his faith, I'd say that was more like just another step in it that he took. Hope this is all kind of fit, not been too convoluted, but that's kind of all I can do with it. So, Sean, it's back to you.